Right, let me read you 2 Timothy, and it's chapter 2. The verse I'm after is verse 8, but I'll read the previous verses. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descending from David. This is my gospel, which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. I need to pray. Father, this is your word. I have the privilege of sharing. I pray you'll help me to be accurate to scripture. And I pray, Lord, that my voice will soon fade and people will be conscious of God's Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We find here that Paul's talking to a younger... But let me just say, first of all, I don't find being a Christian easy. Now, I've been a Christian for over 50 years. In September, it'll be 50 years since I went into Bible college, so I'm really old. And you'd think, wouldn't you, after all these years, I would find the Christian life easy. When I first became a Christian, it was very simple. There were things that you didn't do. So you didn't smoke, you didn't dance, you didn't go to the cinema, you didn't, what was the other one? Didn't smoke, dance, drink, and go out with unsaved girls. Well, 3 out of 4 weren't bad. She was very nice, you know. And that was when I became a Christian. It was like rules. Now, I've got to tell you that I was excluded from school. So those rules helped me. They put something into my life. I know I had to draw some boundaries. Before that, I did what I wanted. And then I got some boundaries. And, you know, it was challenging. When I was a teenager, it was very challenging to be a Christian. And then I thought, when I went to Bible, I got baptized in water, filled with the Spirit. I thought the Christian life will get easier. And it didn't. And then I thought, well, I'll go to Bible college. And that was worse, because I wanted to commit murder there more than anywhere else in my whole life. You know? And then I thought, well, I'll become an Elam minister and the Christian life will be easy. And it didn't. And then I thought, well, I'll get married. And that was a daft thought, wasn't it? That the Christian life would get easier. She's not here tonight, because I wouldn't be normally this brave. You know? And I've come to the conclusion, whatever period of life you're in, there's a challenge. Now, when I was a teenager, the challenge was, do I punch you? The challenge at 67 is, will I talk about you behind your back? Both can be destructive. So Paul's coming here and he's saying to Timothy, Timothy, I know it's not easy. I know that serving the Lord can be difficult. And Timothy was a younger man. And he gives him 3 pictures to help him understand what the Christian life would be like. He says the first one is in, endure hardship like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He doesn't dodge the fact that being a Christian sometimes is down to endurance. And we know that in the soldiers in the Bible days, the Roman armies, they had terrible conditions to work in. And they did have hardships. You know, they weren't flown into a country. They had to march halfway across blooming Europe to have a fight. You know. And he says, endure hardship like a good soldier. And then he says there, like a good soldier, no one serving as a soldier is involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. So he's saying to Timothy, Timothy, I want you to remember that the Christian life is like being a soldier. You've got to stick with it. It's not easy. There's hardships. But you've got to remember your commanding officer, who's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he comes in, he gives him another picture. He says that no one said, he says, similarly, verse 5, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive a crown unless he competes according to the rules. So the first picture is a soldier who has to endure and remember who his commanding officer is. The second is an athlete. Now, I can see from the looks that you realize I have an athletic physique. The only trouble is it's for the shot put. But I used to swim for the county years ago. I never realized, are we any teachers here? Because I didn't realize that why I was in the school swimming team when I wasn't that good, it was to get me off the premises. They said, stick him in this, get rid of him for the morning. I realize that now, and I didn't think teachers were that bright. But they really had a plan in that way. But you know, an athlete competes, only gets a crown if he competes according to the rules. So here I am, I've got to be a soldier. It's going to be difficult. I'm going to have to live a discipled life. I'm going to have to deny myself and follow him. I'm an athlete. I've got to keep the rules. Keep the rules. Many years ago, I went to something in, I live in Mickle over in Derby, and I went to something called, you can laugh, it was a long time ago, something called fitness and sport. And, sorry. And I went there as a sort of a night school. I went there because really I didn't meet a lot of non-Christians that would do me good. And we did all this sort of exercise and the rest of it. And I hated the summer because we'd go outside for a run. And I just can't run. I can sprint. You pinch my wallet, I'll have you. But long distance, I can't do it. And I remember running around. I was getting so far behind that the chap, his name was Ken Kent. He was a school teacher in West Hallam. He said to me, Gordon, why don't you cut across the middle and catch them up? How humiliating. What was worse? I did it. You know, I even if I'd got in front of them, I wouldn't have won because I'd broken the rules. So the Christian life is hardship. So the Bible's very real about it. It's not, if you think the Christian life is singing hymns all day, you need help. And I'm not qualified to give it. So we've got hardship as a soldier. We've got running, that's one thing, but we've got to keep to the rules. I can't live the way I want to. I used to. I have to live to please him in that way. And then thirdly, he talks about the hard-working farmer is the first to receive a share of the crops. So Timothy, this Christian life, this ministry, is hardship, endurance, like a soldier. Stick with it. It's like an athlete. Keep to the rules, son. And the word there, hard-working farmer. I don't know a church today that's growing where someone isn't working hard. So, well, God blesses and God this. And let me tell you now, you can argue with me till you're blue in the face. You find a church that's growing, you'll find people who are working and outreaching and doing alpha courses and doing outreach and caring for people. It just doesn't happen in that way. So he brings those three pictures, soldier, athlete, farmer. All of them bringing a challenge. Talk to a farmer, out in all weathers. Talk to an athlete, training. My son-in-law runs marathons. He runs every morning. I can't believe it. Every morning he does about, oh, I don't know, miles and miles. He should buy a house, really. He's just out all the time. And then the soldier. Now, this is the verse. Where do we get the inspiration to do that? Right. Now, next time you see me, I will have lost weight. I have decided now. And I'm going back to the gym. I won't say which one, because I hate people pointing. But I'm going to do it. I've made my mind up. Where's my inspiration? The inspiration is in our house. I have discovered a full-length mirror. No mercy there, boys, let me tell you. So I've got to lose weight. So my inspiration is, let me tick it. No, I'm very well, thank you, but inspiration. What is going to inspire? Paul's like thinking, what can I say to Timothy to help him when he feels like giving up the soldiering, when he feels like giving up the running, giving up the farming, when he wants to just give up? What can I tell him to do? He says, remember. He asked him to remember three things that hopefully would inspire him to keep soldiering, keep running, and keep the rules, and a farmer. And it's very simple. He says, remember Jesus Christ. Do you know my message is, look, I'll tell you now, by the end of Strictly Come Dancing, you'll have forgotten it. It'll be gone. That's just the way things are. But if you remember him, you'll have inspiration that will help you come through. I find it interesting what Paul says. He says, remember Jesus Christ. Now, he doesn't say the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, on some occasions, he does. But on this, he doesn't. I can remember the night I became a Christian. I put my hand up in a service there, and I got spoken to over here. And I can even remember what the guy, his name was Cliff Tite. He's Assembly of God pastor now. He's not at all well, but over there. And I can remember him saying to me, you're not accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. I never knew what he meant. I'm on my way out of school. I was a bad lad. And, you know, I was just... Well, I got conned into coming to church the Saturday night because they told me it was a party and it was an outreach. That's a good start. A lie in the beginning. But, but Paul doesn't say the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when I became a Christian, he's Lord of your life. You know, that's the important thing. Now, he just says Jesus Christ. And I thought, well, it's a puzzle. Why doesn't he say Lord Jesus Christ? And I'd like to make a suggestion. He uses the first name of Jesus, which was a very ordinary name. We've got the Christmas story. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus comes from Joshua. Joshua, a very popular name. Now, I know there's a footballer, I think, playing in the British League from Brazil whose name is Jesus, but in this country, we would not think of that, everyone calling their children Jesus, because it just probably wouldn't sound right to us, and we wouldn't think it was appropriate. Now, if you have, and I didn't hear about it, I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying it's the culture that we're in. So he comes in and he says, Timothy, when you find it tough being a Christian, remember Jesus. And that, the name Jesus, speaks of his manhood. You know, Christ speaks of his day, speaks of his man. I want you to remember, Timothy, that the one you're serving knows what you're going through. Now, ladies, I don't know what it's like to have a baby. So you can explain it and you can do it, but at the end of the day, I'm standing there quite vague because I've not experienced it. And you don't know what it's like to lose on penalties. You know, I mean, it's equal. I think the pain is the same. I think it's equal pain, from what I can see. So this way, I've just lost. I'm going to get out of here without my life in a minute. Anyway, why am I saying that? What was the point? There was no point, was it? Yes. But, you know, his humanity. So when you find it tough going, you remember Jesus. The Bible says that he was tempted in all ways as we are, and yet without sin. So he knows how difficult it is. He knows it's difficult to get on with people. Look what the Pharisees said about him. Called him a drunk, called him demon-possessed. Look, people might have said things about you, but they've not got there yet, have they? So he knows what it's like. When you lose a loved one, he knows what it's like, because between the story of Jesus in the temple at his bar mitzvah and he's going to the River Jordan, his earthly father, Joseph, passed away. He became the head of the house. So he knows what bereavement is. He knows what running a family is like because he took over from Joseph being the eldest son. And sometimes, you know, all I need to know is that he understands what it's like. He understands. He knows what it is to be tired. He knows what... I'm never hungry, as you can tell from the size of me. But he knows. He's had a family to look after, as certainly not his children, but a family. His brothers and sisters were unkind to him at times, and he knows what it's about. So when you feel like giving up soldiering or running or farming for Jesus, remember Jesus. He understands. But then he says, remember Jesus Christ. Now, Christ is a Greek word meaning anointed one. It means Messiah. In other words, he's saying to him, remember Jesus was a man, and remember Jesus was the Son of God. Now, I can remember where, I don't know if it was in school or in Bible college, we were told that Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. Now, the maths don't work out, but that's it. And Paul calls it the mystery of godliness. God in the flesh is there. So when I'm finding it tough, I remember Jesus, He knows what it's like. The difference is he didn't sin, and I probably do. I do. And then I remember Christ. Not only does he know what I'm going through, he's able to strengthen me through it because he's God. So not so much now, but when I was pastoring, I sat alongside a lot of people. And I did my best, maybe to comfort in bereavement or to give advice or whatever. And I could sympathize. I could share scripture. But at the end of the day, I couldn't really do much more. But Jesus can, because he is Christ. His humanity reminds us that he understands. His deity reminds us he has the authority to do something about it. Okay, now you've listened to everyone. Oh, look at the time. Right, so we remember Jesus Christ. And then he says, raised from the dead. He doesn't mention the crucifixion. Well, without being flippant, and it certainly wouldn't be with Scripture, he doesn't have to mention the cross, because to be raised from the dead, you've got to be dead. That's why I'm on the money I'm on. So he says, I want you to focus on his resurrection. When you feel like giving up, remember that what he's been through is greater than what you've been through. You've been through, oh, it's a bit cold tonight, I don't know if I'll go to church. Well, you did. Well done. We go through things. And it's an inspiration to me that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, because it means the greatest challenge I will ever face will be death itself. And even that's not a great challenge anymore, because he has gone before. And so when you feel like giving up, remember Jesus, he understands. Remember Christ, he can do something. Remember Jesus, raised from the dead. Whatever his life is throwing at you, he's been through it. He's risen from the dead, and he's alive today. And that's the big thing about remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Timothy, you're not on your own. He is there. Okay, fine. Thank you. So, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And then he says, descended from David. Now, I just wish that wasn't there, because I think that doesn't fit. Not, of course, it fits. It's scripture. Now, I'd have liked him to have said, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead and coming again in all his glory. That would be a good finish to the sermon, wouldn't it? But he doesn't say that. He has this little line, descended from David. You're thinking, well, what's that? You know, how's that going to help me tomorrow when you know, I go into the office and somebody's horrible to me, or you know what I'm saying? But then, this is how I see it. He says, Timothy, remember Jesus Christ descending from David. Listen, God's got a plan. He reminded Timothy that Jesus didn't suddenly, poof, at some Christmas, God thought, I'll tell you what, you know, Asda isn't doing very well, you know, I'll send my son and we'll have a great Christmas. Far from it. He reminded them that Jesus came as part of God's plan, descended from David. And that helps me, because when I'm going through a tough time or I'm finding some challenges, I'm reminded that he understands, that he can do something about it, that he's raised from the dead, he's alive, he's with me now, and that he was descending from David. In other words, God works to a plan. There's chaos out there. I mean, I'm not interested how you voted, but it will be good to find out how Brexit really finishes up, won't it? You know, it's amazing. Wow, I mean, it's very complicated. The only thing I know more complicated is negotiating with my wife. Honestly, it really is. I mean, I'd rather the Germans any time. But, you know, negotiating, you think, how will it end up? It looks chaotic. Irish border, we've got, you know, what are we going to do with this? You know, it's all very complicated. But listen, he's in charge. God's got a plan. You think, well, what will happen? You're going to the doctor tomorrow and you're going to get the results. Well, please, I don't know what those results will be, but I know this, that you're part of God's plan. And if you get the results that you don't want, may it comfort you a little to know that God always works to a plan. And this is not flippant. And the worst thing that can happen is you might see him before me. Am I not right? And if it's a reality, if we believe he's raised from the dead, if we believe he is the Son of God, if he is Jesus, then whatever life will bring towards us We embrace the knowing that God works to a plan. The first thing about God's plan is that we come to know him as our Savior. So if you're not a Christian here, forgive me, I don't want to take advantage. May I say, if you're a visitor, you're great to see you. You're the more important guest than I ever am. Is that the first thing he wants us to know is that he loves us and he gave himself for us on the cross that our sins might be forgiven. The man standing here started off by saying, I still find the Christian life hard. Yes. Different challenges from when I was younger. Of course they are. I'm too old for some of them. You know. But others take their place. I have to keep walking, running, farming, marching, remembering my commanding officer, remembering that he is with me, raised from the dead, remembering that God works to a plan, and whatever life throws at me, Jesus is still alive and enthroned with the Father. And if you're not a Christian, that experience is available to you. And do we still have a cup of tea in the annex? May I just say that if any of you would like to talk about becoming a Christian, I'm not rushing off because there's nothing in the house. I'll have a bit of something in here. You know, it's really, it's terrible. I don't know what she does with the money I give her. £30 a week. Do you know what? I don't know, she's sending it. I think she's giving it to the missionaries. If you want to come, I'm doing this to show that I'm approachable, hopefully. If you want to talk to me about becoming a Christian, I'd gladly talk to you. All you have to do is say, Gordon, can I talk a little bit more about what you said? And without fuss and without anybody embarrassing you, glad to talk to you. Because I needed Jesus when I was a teenager. I still need him 50-odd years later. My parents thought I'd got religious mania. It was a fad. I was in it, everything, being a typical, you know, whatever I was, hooligan. It won't last. I just wished my dad had lived a little longer to see that it did last. Because it's the most real thing that's happened to me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this group. I thank you for the kind gift they've given to Kay and myself. It's never been a bother to come, Lord. And I just thank you for the welcome, Lord. I pray you'll bless this fellowship here. And whatever its future is, Lord, may you be at the center of it. So, Lord, just thank you. And may over this Christmas period, may people come to know you. Amen.